From Sacramento, the Bishop's Radio Hour with Bob Dunning on Relevant Radio, focusing on today's issues in the context of gospel values. Now, here's Bob.
Welcome to the Bishop's Hour. Appreciate you all being with us on this beautiful day the Lord has made. Indeed, it is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And we're glad right now to welcome in John Watkins, who is the Executive Director of Catholic Charities YOLO Solano. John, good day to you.
Good morning, Bob. How are you doing?
Doing very, very well. Appreciate you being with us as we move past Easter Sunday, all the Lenten season, and so much going on, obviously, in our church, in our world. Glad that March Madness is over. I was starting to say we should talk about March Madness and Lent, and talk about Lent and anticipation of Easter, and say we should call it March Gladness, because
I like it.
Yeah, we maybe next year we'll have a March Gladness campaign.
Bob, you have lots of good ideas.
Thank you.
You got to submit that one to the bishop
there. I will.
Okay.
We'll see how it flies.
Yeah.
John, tell us, Catholic Charities YOLO Solano, it's not relatively new to have Catholic Charities in that area, but as a specific entity, that is relatively new.
Yeah, that's true. So Catholic Social Services of Solano has been around for over 80 years,
right,
primarily serving in the area around Vallejo and the southern tip of Solano. So back in 2014, Bishop Soto, when he had come over from Orange County, had decided to kind of reincorporate Catholic Social Services as Catholic Charities of Solano, and he formed a new board. And then in the end of 2016, he asked us to expand into YOLO County, because at that time there was no Catholic Charities agency out in that area. And as you know, there's quite a bit of needs out in YOLO County. So, we changed the name to Catholic Charities of YOLO Solano, and we opened up an office in 2017 in Woodland, and we've been serving the communities within YOLO County since.
And your main office is in where?
It's still in Vallejo.
Vallejo, okay. Very good.
Yeah.
Very good. It's quite a big area when you consider YOLO County kind of heads north, you know, towards Colusa County, and yet you've got Clarksburg way down near the Delta. That's in YOLO, and then Solano County goes all the way to Vallejo and Benicia and that way.
It is. And so really over the last, I'd say, 5 to 6 years, the agency has sort of changed its service model to be really more community-based. And so, while of course we have a lot of folks that come in directly into our offices for various services, more and more and more we provide services in the community. So we rely on partnerships with other community partners. We go in and we provide, food pop-ups or education classes on nutrition, or reach folks around education around disaster services out into the communities. So it allows us to get, especially in YOLO County, where there's just, it's a huge geographic area, but a lot of small rural communities within there. And there's a lot of pockets of need in those areas. So I think it's a model that is needed, and it allows us to be mobile and get to where the needs are the greatest.
Yeah, it is amazing. There are thriving cities in both areas. Davis and Woodland and Winters and then Vacaville and Fairfield and Dixon and Vallejo, et cetera. And yet, as you point out, even within those cities, there are great needs. But boy, you get out in the rural areas of both counties, and there's a tremendous amount of need.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're talking about some communities, They don't have street lights in all their streets. Right. They don't have sidewalks
crumbling,
everywhere.
And if they do, they're crumbling.
Yeah. Sometimes bad water. Ironically, access to food is a bigger issue. And I say ironically because most of these areas are farm areas.
Right.
But food is a bigger issue. You see a little bit less of the homelessness that you see in some of the urban areas. But some of the more, a lot of access issues. So a lot of times folks only have one car, and services are limited. And I mean, even supermarkets or, of course, social services are really limited. And so coming into those communities is really critical, and making sure that, you know, it's not good enough to open up an office in Woodland, and for the folks living in Sparta or Clarksburg, you know, for them to getting to our office might be a big challenge. So we have to go to where the folks are and try to see how we can provide services to those communities.
So you mentioned Esparto, one of the Capay Valley, and you go up the Capay Valley to Rumsey and Gwinda and all those little towns up in Brooks or Knight's Landing, Gwinda, a lot of these little towns. How do you go into a town and assess needs and then assess what it is? I mean, there may be needs there that you can't provide, but how do you how do you assess that? It seems like a big and complicated job.
It would be impossible if it was just us. But if you go into these different communities, what you'll find is usually a community partner. Let's say, for instance, in Knight's Landing, it might be Empower YOLO, or in Esparta, it might be Rise Inc. But there's different community partners that are anchor community-based organizations, and you work with them. You let them know what you're doing, and that you're really looking to complement the needs of the community. And then you come in behind them, and you learn from them. Remember, we're the new kids on the block.
Right.
So we've come in since 2017. So we're not looking to displace other community partners, but we know there's lots of pockets of needs. And so we're coming in. First of all, we're doing some needs assessments. We've been doing some needs assessments from the board for the last couple of years for YOLO County. But in the meantime, you know, we have quite a bit of information. We just by working with our community partners and going into these communities, serving these communities, that's how you learn. And of course, there's information out there. A lot of times, there's a lot of the hospital systems do every few years do a needs assessment. So we have a sense of what the needs are, but you really need to go out and serve the community for a period of time to get the sense of what the needs are.
How much of the poverty, low income is actually associated with agricultural industry in both of these counties?
Well, I mean, I think it's a mix. Obviously, the ag industry is the source, one of the main engines for the community, economic engines. There's a large number of people that work within that industry that earn very low amounts of money. So there's a lot of poverty in those areas. The other thing is there's just not the same level of infrastructure. Mm-hmm. I mean by that, by water, electricity, basic services, like I said, like a supermarkets, gas stations, things that you take for granted in the city. And so you have different types of needs maybe look a little bit foreign to us, myself included, who, you know, I'm more used to a urban or suburban kind of situation. It's just a different type of poverty. A lot of blessings in those communities, a lot of really tight communities, and mutual support within these communities. So there's, you know, it's not that I would want to paint a picture of despair. It's really a picture of hope, but there are pockets of needs, and obviously, you know, the mission of Catholic Charities is to go out and proclaim the good news. You know, we just finished the experience of Lent, and then we're now entering into Easter, and then pretty soon we will be moving right into Pentecost. And right. We know in Pentecost is the church sort of, you know, a lot of times we want to stay in the Easter season, but the Spirit, the Holy Spirit calls us out, calls us forth, right. And calls us to spread the good news and to serve others. And it gives us the power through the Holy Spirit to do those things. And so Catholic Charities is sort of the movement, I guess, of the Holy Spirit and caring for the needs of the community, but as a means of proclaiming the good news.
So how involved do you get with the parishes in all these, like a St. Martin's in Sparta or St. Anthony's in Winters or St. Paul's in Knight's Landing? How involved do you get with the parishes in terms of just learning, number one, but also resources?
Yeah, I think more and more as we move to a more of a community-based service model, we're relying more and more and more on Catholic communities. For instance, in Vallejo, St. Catherine of Siena, they have a ministry called Mensa Christi. Mensa Christi, or the name of Table of Christ, is a ministry of feeding the unsheltered homeless men and women living in Vallejo. Mm-hmm. And the ministry started out and right around COVID, and they were going out once a week and feeding something around about 100 people each week. And now they're feeding between 600 and 700 people three times a week. And so they're providing just an amazing service, but really that's almost unsustainable for a parish to do without support. And so really trying to come in and helping them, you know, through grants and otherwise, to getting access to fresh produce and food and helping to sign folks up with SNAP benefits and providing as much wraparound services as we can to support that ministry. So again, they're the main actors, and a lot of times we're just behind the scenes. And that's really what more and more and more we're looking to do. We're hiring a new position that really is going to be looking to support existing food ministries and food pantries, not just Catholic food pantries, but other food pantries, and then just really helping to get them best practices, identify resources that are needs, and then helping to get them those resources. So really what we're trying to do is improve the overall food health system within our community. And so you do that, you know, you can only do so much as a one agency, but if you go in behind and you're looking to support other smaller groups, you're really able to make a difference, because I think it's really important to remember that every single Catholic parish has some form of charitable ministry.
Sure does, yeah.
We often forget that, and maybe seems like there's only a few people involved in those ministries. That shouldn't be the case, but regardless, we have to work together to forward the ministry. So they're part of the same ministry, the same mission that we are, and so we try to support that mission.
Do you end up working with like a St. Vincent de Paul group or any other groups like that within the parishes?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, definitely, typically, St. Vincent de Paul is sort of the anchor ministry that is anchoring the charitable outreach. They're just amazing. And they can do a lot of things that we can't do and vice versa. So we work closely with them. And, you know, I guess what I would say is each St. Vincent de Paul conference is very different.
Right.
It's sort of like Catholic Charities. There's a saying of Catholic Charities, If you've seen One Catholic Charities, you've seen One Catholic Charity. So each of us have the same mission. We do some of, you know, all of us do certain similar ministries, but each of us are really organized different because we're responding in a unique way to the needs of our community. So we're going to be look very different in each community. So I think the same is the case with St. Vincent. But I do love St. Vincent. I love their model. And one thing that I appreciate with St. Vincent de Paul is no charity is foreign to St. Vincent. So when we get difficult cases and they just don't fit in a program or a box, we can call St. Vincent and we can say, hey, can you reach out and help this person? And if nothing else, they're able to reach out and they're able to help this person. They're not able to solve every problem, but they are able to provide the charity of being present and walking with and supporting to the degree that they can this person who is struggling. Yeah, and that's important.
They're very versatile on a very personal level.
Absolutely.
They say, we'll send somebody out. We'll meet you at your home or wherever. We'll at least talk. We'll accompany you. We will
exactly
see what can be done.
Exactly. And then we have a different, slightly different mission because there are sometimes complicated needs. For instance, families may have be struggling with immigration issues, legal immigration issues, and we're able to provide attorneys and DOJ accredited staff people that can help them work through these complicated issues. There's other complicated case management sorts of issues that we're able to provide. So we provide those social services that sort of can complement the charity that is being provided at the parish, almost 100% by volunteers. And so we're able to provide those professional services.
How much do you deal with local city councils, boards of supervisors, even maybe school boards in these various communities and counties?
Yeah, I mean, those are our we see them as stakeholders in the community. We're one of many different community partners, and the county supervisors are really important for us in particular because our services are usually county wide in most Catholic charities. So we serve Yolo and Solano County. So the county supervisors are key. The city councils are really important, and it depends on the community too. And so a lot of times, the school district is really important. So
sure.
In Esparta, when we were trying to do a welcome event for the three migrant centers in Madison and Dixon and Davis, mm-hmm. we partnered with the Esparta Unified School District, and they were able to really help provide us sort of that space because they're sort of one of the main community-based organizations in Esparta. Mm-hmm. And so you just have to, each community is going to look a little bit different as to like what is the organization that is the key place for us to partner with. So yes,
yeah,
we partner with others.
In the counties, the boards of supervisors are elected by district. So mm-hmm. no matter where it is, they actually do have somebody that is from their district, which is mm-hmm. a little different than the at-large model that used to kind of dominate. And sometimes you'd have five supervisors all from the same town, and weren't really representing the outer areas, not necessarily in Yolo, yeah. Solano, but all throughout California.
Yeah. Well, they're definitely concerned about their particular community. So you know it, because when you go in there, they'll tell you, that's really great that you're doing that, but what about my community?
Yes.
And as they should.
As they should.
As they should. So, they hold us accountable as much as I hope we hold them accountable to serving the community. So, absolutely.
when we talk about agricultural workers especially, but a lot of other occupations as well, how often are you dealing with people who are undocumented and maybe don't want to get very involved in the system?
Well, there's definitely good reason to be concerned. I think as far as ag workers, most of them, a lot of them have a status to be able to work right. as ag workers.
Right.
You know, limited status to work. But yeah, of course, they do not want to get in trouble. And so for them, there's a concern about getting any kind of social services. Mm-hmm. And so the relationship to the church is really key there, because I think, you know, many immigrant communities not just ones from Hispanic countries, but from really all countries, there's a sense of community and mutual assistance in our churches, and there's a sense of trust that we can get help here. And so collaborating with our local parishes is really important, and it gives a sense of trust so that when we're coming out and we're saying, yeah, no, we can provide this service for you, you know, they're not going to be afraid, like, well, if mm-hmm. I take this service, I'm going to get in trouble. Right. So I think that's important.
We've heard this term migrant workers for years. Do we still have agricultural workers that move around in the seasons from crop to crop, or most of them, you know, staying in the same place now?
I think there's a mix, you know, so that's why in the spring we kind of host a welcome event, because obviously work is seasonal and different crops have different seasons. And so there is a bit of movement to where the work is. And then there are some workers that actually live in the community as well. So it's not just one or the other. I think it's a both. And it's really the ones that oftentimes are in the community where they may have more complex issues, because they have families, right. they have kids that are going to school. It's complicated. So oftentimes they need a lot of help. But so do the migrant workers, and really anyone that's working in the fields. It's really hard work. And there's a lot of needs that they have as well. So that's a place, a really important place where we serve the community is through the migrant centers.
Yeah, I remember up in Knight's Landing a few years ago, they had this little Grafton Elementary School for years and years and years. And then it got to be, I don't know, too expensive, too difficult, hard to find teachers, mm-hmm. and they planned to close it. And it was like, where do those kids go? Frequently don't have yeah. transportation, and don't have any political clout.
Absolutely, you know. I mean, that's the one of the issues that they're dealing with. You know, it's different, but similar to urban situations where you have some underperforming schools, and it's, you know, sometimes they have to shut down as well for various other reasons, but then just sort of the displacement of the local community. But it's a bigger deal in rural communities, because, as you said, they're just physically limited in terms of where do they go. And these schools are providing so much in the way of social services,
right.
Just in the natural, organic way of making sure that their kids have food, and you know, making sure that they're the ones that are hearing about sort of the issues at home and getting involved. And so there's they play such an important role in the community, in these rural communities. So it's just you bring up a good point, and it's something that I think probably plagues a lot of rural communities. Is that, you know, because of the way that they're not big population centers, there's not a big source of tax revenue. And but but there are people there, and they have kids and families, and they also need education. So how do you provide that? It is a higher cost of service to serve in those rural communities.
We're talking with John Watkins, the executive director of Catholic Charities of Yolo Solano. John, no matter where you talk about in California and in the United States, there's a huge drug problem. Is that an area that Catholic Charities gets involved in any way?
Not directly. We have some of our nutrition education program is partnering with community-based organizations that are doing both outpatient and kind of high barrier shelter. Mm-hmm. And so community living, where we're going in and teaching healthy nutrition to those folks and providing them sort of healthy food as sort of a way of their healing process, that a lot of times, you know, when you're involved in a substance abuse, it puts a toll on the body, and that part of healing is really nutrition. And so that's where we get involved. Of course, we're serving folks that are actively involved in addiction, obviously. A lot of those folks that are on the street. But we're not providing treatment programs. Mm-hmm. in our program. We have a relatively small, of the three Catholic Charities in this diocese, we're one of the smaller ones. So we primarily have food nutrition programs. We have various disaster services and education programs, and we have immigration legal services. You know, at this point, those are our primary programs and services to the community.
Talk a little bit about immigration services. It's
sure.
One of the things that just, it makes me so proud to be Catholic. You know, every now and then you get in a conversation and somebody might say something disparaging or some offhand remark, and you go, do you realize I look at it, just all the different things that are served by the annual Catholic appeal, things that you wouldn't think of. You know, you think of hunger and homelessness and drug addiction and a few things, but there's all these other ministries. There's like 80 or 90 or 100, you know, ministries. And if the Catholic Church either disappeared or never existed in this area, there would be a big collapse of the safety net.
Oh, yeah. We try to remind our politicians that. Yeah. The Catholic Church, I think, is unique in that we were structurally speaking, you know, and this is something that happened right after Pentecost, a few chapters, if you go forward a few chapters, you see St. Stephen and the deacons being commissioned, sort of the church getting organized to serve the needs of the community, especially the Hellenist community that didn't have social services. They were not part of the Jewish services. So going out and serving is core to the mission. It's core to the movement of the Spirit, is to go out and to serve those, even those that are not in the Catholic community, to going out and serving those in need. So, when people ask me, you know, yeah, what's the mission? What's it connected to? You know, how's it connected to the faith? And I usually point them to Matthew 25 the mission statement in the core of what we do. I was hungry and you fed me. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was sick and you visited me, and so on and so forth. And so, there's immigration is not new. It's a human condition that has been around since people have been around, that trauma happens. It forces people to flee a situation, and it causes displacement. And it's important that the church be organized to be able to welcome folks as they come in. Now, that doesn't mean that we're involved in doing sort of illegal immigration. It's not that at all. There's folks that actually have an ability to have legal status here for various reasons, maybe because they were they came over as children, as little children, through no fault of their own, or maybe it was they can have status because they came over as being trafficked. Maybe it's because they're involved in a sort of a relationship where they're involved in domestic violence, and the person is lording over them the fact that they're immigrants as a power control thing. Or in some cases, there's folks that are coming over and fleeing very dangerous situations. And that's those are the situations that I think folks are familiar with, the asylum cases. Well, just to put a face on that, I mean, so when I first came over to Catholic Charity Jail of Solano, I was just asking our attorney about just to kind of share with me, what does that look like? And so he was telling me about a recent case that he was involved with as a young boy. He's a young teenager, but he was around 11 years old. And his father was a taxi driver in Central America. And he had picked up a police officer and then dropped him off wherever he was supposed to go. But the police officer left a bag in the taxi. Well, the bag was filled with drugs and and money and so on. And so the police killed the father and then started going after the family. And the family was trying to hide, and they were searching them out. And so finally, this young man braved going across to the U.S. because there was really just no option for him in his own country. And he got here. And if there was no Catholic Charities, he would have been sent back immediately. Because you need to have legal, you know, this there are laws and you have to have representation. Otherwise, it's complicated, but you'll most likely just be sent back. And so because of us, we were able to represent him. And he did have a legitimate case for asylum. And so he's now living with family members here in the States. And he's got a kind of a he's going to school and he's got a work permit so he can help support his family down in Central America. But, you know, life is complicated, you know, without getting into the politics of it at all. And not saying that there isn't brokenness to our immigration system or even the asylum system that could be fixed. But there are human beings that are dealing with these traumas. And the question I think that St. John Paul really spoke of is, well, what are we called to do as Christians? It's not, you know, we can have these political delineations, but at the end of the day, what would Christ do? What would he call us to do? And I think if nothing else, he would call us to care for those that are dealing with that sort of trauma. Many times we can't solve problems because of, you know, the complexity of the legal situation. But where we can, we do. And where we can't, we're very forthright. We get them the information that they need to make the right decision about what they should be doing. But, you know, as Catholics, I think it's important. And I think we should be proud to know that the Catholic Church is one of the largest providers of immigration services and migration services in the country by far and away. We are. So, you know, I think that we're living out the mission that Jesus called us to do at the Last Supper.
Amen. Yeah, I remember, and this was sort of political, but when this flight full of people from, I guess, south of the border, for want of a better term, were flown into Sacramento. They had no idea where they were, why they were on this plane, why they were coming to Sacramento when they got here. Where did the sort of perpetrators of this bring these migrants, brought them to the Catholic Church. Just brought them directly to the Catholic Church.
And there was the assumption, well, they'll take care of you.
Exactly. Exactly.
And I think that's out there in the community, and partly because it's true, and it's because we've earned that reputation over time. And I think, you know, we can recognize as Catholics complex situations, but then within that plane were souls, you know, they were all children of God, and they were all scared, and they all were in need of care. And so I think it is right and good that the Catholic Church would step up and care for them. Each particular situation was unique. I can't say whether or not everyone on that plane should, you know, had the rights to be able to apply for asylum or not.
Right,
each
right,
one was unique,
right.
You know, under the law. But all of them are children of God. All of them were in a scary situation. And so I think that that's, as Catholics, I think that's what we're really called to do is, you know, step outside of the politics for a minute, at least when we're talking about one-to-one-to-one-to-one-to-one. Mm-hmm. And the person in front of you is a child of God. You know, whether or not they're dealing with addiction, they have all sorts of issues, that those are important, you know. And if but when we're feeding folks, we don't ask, are you sober? Are you, you know, are you doing the steps? We don't ask that because they're just hungry. And, you know, at a minimum, we have to care for folks. And so there has to be some clarity of purpose as Christians that we're called to love folks. It's okay to have boundaries. It's okay to have the laws, and we follow those things. But we also have to see the person, and not get caught up in all this politics stuff. That's the unfortunate thing.
Yeah, I look at this Annunciation House in El Paso, and our own Catholic conference came out. All the bishops came out strongly in support of it. You know, because the authorities in Texas were trying to shut it down, and they're saying all they're doing is just providing sort of Matthew 25 for these people who are in desperate need. You know, let's leave the politics out of it. What's wrong with helping these people, you know? And
it is really unfortunate because we just, there's a real basic level. Even if you are convicted of a crime, you know, thankfully, you know, the system still feeds them. They still, you know, have a shelter over them. There's some basic level of needs that we have to be careful. You know, we don't want to demonize people. Every, you know, people are people. People are children of God. And God really calls us to care for those in need. So, you know, at a basic level, you know, all they're doing is just providing them charity, just some food, a safe place for a minute. There's no determination. They're not there determining whether or not they have legal status or not legal status. That's you know, there's a legal system for that. And like I said, those systems can be improved on, but there should be no doubt that the person that's gotten to those places that are so desperate that they need to be at those places, you know, you don't want to sort of blame the victims of the situation. They're just trying to survive.
Yeah.
And they're just people with families and children.
I look at some of the stories of people, how far they've traveled, frequently on foot, through really desperate situations and bad actors taking advantage of them, and et cetera, to get that chance to get into the United States. And I'm thinking, what would drive me to uproot my whole family, leave the home that I've known my whole life, and walk, you know, 1,000 miles to try to find a better life for my family? That has to be a pretty desperate situation.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's important to remember, Jesus was not disconnected from that sort of reality. I know we're in the season of Easter, but remember, during during season of Christmas, we go through the story of the Holy Family escaping to Egypt. They too were immigrants, and they were facing a dangerous situation they had to flee from, and they had to go to a foreign country. So God is familiar with the immigrant story, and to be sort of in sort of those dire needs that our immigrant brothers and sisters have gone through. And keeping in mind, of course, most of us in our family history, we have loved ones that had different but similar stories in getting to this country, where they were escaping probably a very challenging situation, and they got here. But for the fact that there was a certain amount of charity in the hearts of folks, they wouldn't have made it.
Yep.
They wouldn't have made it. You and I wouldn't be here. So we give thanks for the hearts of everyone that have responded in a sense to the Holy Spirit, which calls us to care for our brothers and sisters, especially those that we don't know and maybe look different, talk different than us, and to just recognize that they are our brothers and sisters.
Yep.
And that's really awesome. And that's part of the good news. And when we cut that off, when we otherize peoples, we really are disconnecting ourselves from God and disconnecting ourselves from the Spirit. So it's not healthy. So, the key thing is it's okay to have good policy conversations about immigration, but be careful not to demonize immigrants as a group. That's where mistakes happen.
Absolutely. No, I always try to look at how much I love and care for and would do anything for my own kids. And then I go, okay, these are God's kids.
Yeah.
All of us are God's kids. God loves them just as much as he loves me and loves my kids. And we're all in the same family. That's powerful stuff when you think of it that way. And you're right. Leave politics out of it. Leave politics aside. Sometimes we have to deal with it. We have to fight about it.
Yeah.
But, boy, John, I know, people listening are going to say, gee, I'd like to help Catholic Charities of Yolo Solano. You have a fundraiser coming out. And I think it will be a fundraiser as well as a fundraiser.
Yes. So we have a fundraiser called and gifted. So speaking of Pentecost, it's a couple of days before Pentecost, May 17th. Just like we're all called, but it's important to remember that we're gifted by the Holy Spirit that empowers us to go out and that we can make a difference. Sometimes even by little things and donations can really, really, really make a difference. So yes, we desperately need help, and folks can purchase tickets to come. We're going to be at Wooden Valley Winery on Friday evening, May 17th, from 6:30 to 8:30. Bishop Soto will be there. There will be lots of fun things to do, and there'll be a silent auction, lots of wine, and really a lot of wonderful people. So I want to invite all the listeners to purchase a ticket. If they can't make it, we'll accept donations, So they can just go to our website. Is it okay if I give that address? Okay. So it's CCYOSO.org, stands for Catholic Charities Yolo Solano. So CCYOSO.org. And we look forward to seeing everyone at this upcoming event.
And it's,
you're all invited, called, and gifted.
Is it Wood Valley Winery? Is that correct?
Wooden Valley Winery. It's in Sassoon City.
Wooden
Valley Winery. It's in Sassoon City, which is near Fairfield.
Right.
It's a really, really beautiful, quaint winery. It should be a lot of fun. Bob will be there. So he's going to be our MC. So this is your chance to meet Bob in the flesh. He looks better in person than on radio. Even.
Oh, that's yeah. I get younger and better looking every day, John.
Yeah,
don't we all? Yeah, that sounds like a really fun event. And Suisun City is I don't like the term cute, but I like that area very much.
Yeah, it is really cool. There are a lot of little wineries there, rural, and it's really right off of the 80, so right. It's pretty easy to get access
to.
So
yeah, no matter where you're coming from.
I think you come and you get to benefit Catholic Charities and have a lot of fun. I hope you guys can make it.
Very good. And is there the website's probably the best way to buy a ticket, but if people want to just straight out make a donation
same place. You can go to the website. I would make it easy for folks, but right on the website, of course, it highlights the upcoming event, but then there is a donate button, and we do need donations. It is a lot of challenges out there, and we really, really, and I mean this, we really can't do this without the support of others, especially folks in the Catholic community. So all of you listening, I hope you understand that, I don't expect a million people from this program to give, but if one or two of you is willing to step forward, get a ticket or give a donation, it really, really will make a difference.
Very, very good. John, always a joy to talk with you. Thanks for all the great work you're doing out there in the Lord's Vineyard. And I'll look forward to May 17 for sure and our paths crossing again.
All right. Well, thank you, Bob. God bless you.
God bless you too, John.
And happy Easter.
Thanks so much, John. That's John Watkins, the Executive Director of Catholic Charities of Yolo Solano. Again, their website is ccyoso.org, Catholic Charities Yolo Solano. org, and they do such great work, and I mean those two counties are incredibly diverse in terms of large urban areas and yet small rural towns and a tremendous amount of agriculture and other industries as well, depending on what part of those two counties you're in. But it's a vast area and a lot of need in those areas. That's going to do it for us for today. Thanks for listening, everyone. God bless. I want to take a minute to talk about the annual Catholic Appeal, the 2024 annual Catholic Appeal. So important here in the Diocese of Sacramento. So many ministries supported by the annual Catholic Appeal, and the people in the Diocese of Sacramento have always been so generous, but a wonderful brochure, a pamphlet, really, that you may have received in the mail, and on the back cover, a picture, maybe it's front, I guess that's the front cover, Deacon Kevin Staskow says, I really think that everyone has something to give. When Jesus was literally dying on the cross, he found the strength to turn to the thief being crucified next to him and minister to that person. So often, we have all kinds of excuses not to reach out to those next to us. Indeed, today you will be with me in paradise. And you look through this brochure, and you will learn the many, many, many ministries that are supported by the annual Catholic Appeal. And 25% of your donation goes back to the parishes for social ministry at your parish. 50% supports charities, Catholic Charities of Sacramento, and the members in that are Catholic Charities of Yolo Solano, Northern Valley Catholic Social Service, which serves Butte, Glen, Shasta, Siskiyou, Tehama, and Trinity counties in this 20-county diocese, and Sacramento Food Bank and Family Services right here in the greater Sacramento area. Also, associate members are Camp Recreation, serving Northern California, the Mother Teresa Maternity Home in Placerville, the Rancho Cordova Food Locker in Greater Sacramento, the Upper Room Dining Hall in Placerville. Many of you have worked at those places, are very familiar with those places, or have availed yourself of the wonderful services they provide. 25% supports education, seminary and formation, and Catholic school tuition assistance. Partners the annual Catholic Appeal and Catholic Charities of Sacramento include Anderson Cottonwood Christian Assistance, Bishop Gallegos Maternity Home right here in Sacramento that does such wonderful work, the Catholic Ladies Relief Society up in Chico, Community Assistance Network in Greenville, Portola, and Quincy up in the hills, Loaves and Fishes in Sacramento, which just does wonderful work with the homeless, Sacramento Life Center, which has saved so many lives here in the Sacramento area, Salvation Army Food Shelf in Susanville, the Society of St. Vincent de Paul and their seven district councils, the North State, Placer, Yuba, Sutter, Butte, Sacramento East, South Sacramento, Elk Grove, Sacramento Metro Area, and Yolo Delta and Solano. Also, the Stanford Settlement Neighborhood Center in Sacramento and the Wellsprings Women's Center in Sacramento, plus Yuba City, Yuba Sutter, Right to Life, the two counties just north of Sacramento. More than 100 programs provide things like counseling, emergency fund, shelter and clothing, permanent and transitional housing, job training, pregnancy counseling, post and prenatal care, independent living skills, mentoring, parenting skills, after school care, refugee resettlement, citizenship and immigration services, and jail ministry. Our gifts help people who are mentally ill, homeless, disaster survivors, immigrants, elderly, developmentally disabled, incarcerated, working families, refugees, at-risk youth, the unborn, pregnant women, the hungry, and single parents. Such a wide, wide range of our Catholic mission here on this earth and in this Diocese of Sacramento. One of the programs through Northern Valley Catholic Social Services is the Court of Appointed Special Advocate Program, which is operated out of all the superior courts in the state of California, and it partners with Northern Valley Catholic Social Service to help kids who need advocates in the courts. They talk about, in this pamphlet, a young woman named Isabel, who is devoted to ensuring a positive support system for foster kids now and for their future. As a court-appointed special advocate, a program administered with compassion and dedication by Northern Valley Catholic Social Service, Isabel gives kids the voice they need in court to have a positive path in life. She was once in foster care herself. The severe trauma a child goes through is all too familiar. Today, she's reunited with her parents, has a family of her own, and is focused on becoming a lawyer. Northern Valley Catholic Social Services gives her the opportunity to advocate in court for children with stories like hers. Again, the annual Catholic Appeal, give generously, give whatever you can, whether it's a small amount, a large amount. Also, more men can say yes to the call to the priesthood. Support from the annual Catholic Appeal helps seminarian Eric Patrick, who is pictured in this brochure, to become Father Eric Patrick this past June. We've had him on our program, a delightful priest. Father Patrick is earnestly hopeful that he can be a conduit for the experience of God's mercy and love. With costs offset by the appeal, the 12 men now in seminarian formation can focus less on financial worries and more on preparing to serve in our parishes. The annual Catholic Appeal, a wonderful, wonderful way to support so many ministries in the Diocese of Sacramento. That's going to do it for us for today. Thanks for listening. God bless everyone. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the St. Vincent de Paul Society. Drop by and shop at their thrift store, a beautiful, beautiful thrift store at 2275 Watt Avenue. Open Mondays through Saturdays from 10 to 8 and Sundays from 11 to 6. They also accept donations at the store, donations of furniture, appliances, clothing, books, everyday household items. Your donations help to fund the many projects of the St. Vincent de Paul Society throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Do such wonderful, wonderful work, and the thrift store is one of the ways they raise the funds to help people throughout the diocese, and also many of their clients are able to access the thrift store for items that they need. You can give them a call. They will come pick it up as well, but you can give them a call. They're at 916-972-1212. And remember, again, the thrift store is open 7 days a week at 2275 Watt Avenue right here in Sacramento. Well, Bishop Soto refers to Christ the King Retreat Center as the jewel of the diocese, and indeed it is. What a beautiful oasis it is. It's located in Citrus Heights, right in the hustle and bustle of the city, and you feel like you're getting away from it all when you turn off the main road and just come into Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center. Christ the King has served Northern California and the Diocese of Sacramento for over 60 years through parish weekend retreats, individual spiritual direction, and a variety of other programs. For information on all the programs that they offer, including residential programs, give them a call. They're at 916-725-4720, or you can visit them at 6520 Van Maren Lane in Citrus Heights. And we certainly thank the St. Vincent de Paul Society and Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center for their fine and longstanding support of the Bishop's Hour.
We stand and lift up our hands for the joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down and worship him now. How great!